This is a theological essential for you and for me each and every day. This is an amazing truth we want to focus on because it helps us to know how you and I should live as the people of God. This is really a practical application of being filled with the Spirit of God, indwelt by the Spirit, His presence in your life, in my life. How is that evident? How is that seen? And should it be seen? Should it be evident to those around us? Paul's writing to the church here in Corinth, but the truth that he gives them is equally important for us today. The Spirit who inspired him to write it, of course, wrote that for our benefit and so that you and I could understand these truths. And so Paul's going to stress the Spirit of God and the gifts that the Spirit gives here in this chapter and the significance for how you and I practice our faith on a daily basis. So stand with me. You're going to read the first couple verses here in chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you've made your way there. I'm just going to read the first seven or so verses. We'll go down through the chapter and also some other passages in Scripture that are important. Now, notice this in the first verse. There's an italicized word there. It's kind of interesting. It's not in the Greek, but it's interesting. We'll talk about this in a minute. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now notice this, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. And Father, may this be profitable for us today as I exercise the gift you've given me, Lord, to teach. Lord, may we grow in our understanding of how your Spirit works in us and in this body of believers. Lord, give us understanding today and help us to apply this truth, Lord, to put it into practice, Lord, since this is given for the benefit of all. And Lord, as we do this, Lord, may you receive all the glory and honor and the praise that your name is worthy of. And may you, Father, be well pleased as your children do the Father's will. We love you and we praise you. We ask all of this in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. You know, my father-in-law has a general contractor's license. And, when we had to make our derby cars, it looked like a production line, frankly. We'd go down to his workshop, and the boys and I would go in there into his workshop. And his nickname is Mr. Fix-It. And generally, that's what he does, right? He's got all the tools and everything that's necessary. If you were to go into his workshop with us there, you would just see all those tools there, all the gadgets, electronic machinery, and of course, hammers and saws and screwdrivers, that stuff too. But he has all of that there, but it's not just on display like a museum, like you come in and go, ooh, ah. No, it's used. It's used a lot. Because those tools, those instruments that are there, they exist for one purpose, and that is to build things and fix things. And Mr. Fix-It, we've learned over the years, he can fix or repair just about anything. We're grateful for him. Now, what's amazing is with spiritual gifts, when you look here, you're going to discover that spiritual gifts, listen, they're the gifts and tools that God has given you and me as believers. Now, the interesting thing is this. You know who Mr. Fix-It is? Our Father in heaven. He's the one who can actually fix it. And that means fix people, right? Fix them with the gospel, with the good news of Christ, with grace and mercy. It's amazing. Now, what happened, Paul's writing to the Corinthian church because they had lost that focus. They had so many problems, actually. They were incredibly gifted, but they were deeply divided as a body. They were deeply divided, and they had mistaken that the gifts that God had given them were actually some type of personal status, like, look at me, rather than being a tool for the benefit of everyone in the congregation. And so when Paul writes to them, he's trying to get them to focus not on themselves, but to focus on God and on the Spirit specifically and the work that the Spirit of God can do. That'd be healthy for all of us. Amen? The amen goes right there, y'all. Amen? Yes. You see, as we've studied the Spirit of God, what we've focused on over the past 6 weeks is, listen, the Spirit of God indwells us when we're regenerate. He regenerates us. He gives us new life. He dwells within us, all of him. He's present within every believer in Christ. And not only does he dwell within us, he convicts us, he convinces us, he comforts us, he's guiding us into the truth. But this is the truth you and I have to put into practice now. And it's really one of the manifestations of the Spirit. It's the evidence, listen, that the Spirit of God really is in us. Now, there's a lot of people in the charismatic movement that look for the manifestation of the Spirit and all these really amazing things that they say should happen. But this is the one way that you see the Spirit at work. As the gifts are employed and put to work. And all of us should be able to look in the mirror of God's word and in the mirror at ourselves and say, is this working in me? Is he working in me and through me in the way which Paul describes here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12? Because here's why. Spiritual gifts, listen, and spirituality are not necessarily synonymous, okay? Just because you are spiritual doesn't mean that you are using the spiritual gift that God has given to you. In your Bible, you'll notice, as I said here, this word gifts is italicized, particularly in the New King James Version in verse 1. Now, concerning the spirituals or the spiritualities is really what he's saying. What is he talking about? The Greek word there is pneumatica, and it means spirit or breath. When you have pneumonia, anyone ever had pneumonia? It's not fun, right? Pneumonia is a breathing disease, something that is pneumatic. Your tires are pneumatic, right? You put air in them. That's the word here. And in the Bible, you find that oftentimes the Spirit is often considered like breath or like the wind. Jesus would say to Nicodemus, right? You don't see the wind, but you see the effects of the wind. And when the leaves move, right? When you see the wind blow, you see leaves on the ground move because the air is moving. Well, how do we see the Spirit moving and at work? It's through the use of these gifts. It demonstrates something. It gives evidence to something. And Paul is speaking not just about the gifts, but the work of the Spirit of God and the work that God wants to do in you and in me in our lives each and every day. Now, he had to focus on the spiritual things because in the first 11 chapters leading up to this, the church at Corinth had not been very spiritual. They had been very carnal. They had been very fleshly. They had been living in division. They had been divided as a church. And he was addressing that because, listen, our greatest testimony is unity, church. Our greatest testimony, brothers and sisters, is oneness. And when we demonstrate that to the world, it's a powerful witness to the truth that, hey, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. There's only one of them. And he wants us to have that unity and testify of that and show that. And they were divided. In fact, he had to address it in chapter 3, chapter 4. It was so bad, they weren't calling out sin in the body, sexual sin. They were suing one another. They were worshiping idols or going to the as Paul would say, the table of demons and then coming to the Lord's table. He had addressed that in chapter 10. I mean, they had a lot of issues, and frankly, every church has issues, all right? There's no perfect church this side of heaven. Can I get an amen? Amen. Or maybe, oh my, we're a part of it. Amen? Right? So the question then is, as he speaks to them, he's trying to get their eyes off of their own selves, off of their carnality. Look at me. I'm looking at myself. And start looking at God, and particularly looking at the Spirit of God and the work the Spirit of God should be doing in our lives. And that's a healthy exercise for all of us. Why? Well, what he's going to say here in verses 4, 5, and 6 is this. God's Spirit sovereignly distributes the gifts. God sovereignly decides who is gifted in what way. Notice how he says this, and I'm going to encourage you to circle some things and under some things. So underline this or circle. First, look at this. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of activities or ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. Now, in my Bible, I circled same, same, same. All right? And because those things are all related, I underline diversities, differences, And diversities, again, in verses 4, 5, and 6, because those talk about things that aren't the same. They're diverse. They're many. The many and the one. And then I noticed this. There's some critical terms here. Watch what he does here. This is really fascinating. God has chosen, he has decided how to, listen, how to bless the body that he redeemed to do the work that he has for us to do. And he is, listen, spiritual gifts, one of the best things for us to understand is it's not something that we achieve, it's something that he assigns us, he gives us. Now notice this, the first word there, when he says there are diversities of gifts, the word for gift is charismata. And that word comes from the word grace, charis. If you know anybody named charis, her name means grace. Charis, listen, God graced us. Can you say amen? We were saved by grace through faith. But God, grace didn't just save us. It's grace that sustains us. And it's God's grace that enables us to serve with these spiritual gifts. And if you've been saved by Jesus Christ, if you've repented of your sins, put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and said, you're the Savior. I can't save myself. I want to trust in your sacrifice. I want you to be my Lord and Savior. I surrender to you. The Bible says that you have been graced. You've been saved by grace. And God sustains us by grace. But if Jesus has saved us, the Spirit of God comes and indwells us. And now he gives us these gifts that we are, grace gifts, that we are supposed to be leveraging and using. It's not given based on anything you and I have done. We don't earn it. We don't certainly don't deserve it. But it's an ability that God gives us to do the work that he's called us to do. What's the work that he's called us to do? Well, you notice there's diversities of these graces, these gifts, but there's also differences of ministries. Or perhaps your interpretation, your translation there says services. Literally, the Greek word is where we get the word deacon from, diakonia, right? The deacons. And what are the deacons? Well, deacons are servants. Deacons are supposed to pick up the towel and they serve the body. And so these grace gifts that God gives all of us that we don't earn, we don't deserve, but he freely gives, those are to be used in service in the body. Now think about that. Doesn't this make sense? If you're going to follow Jesus and you want to be great in the kingdom, what did he say? If you want to be great, you got to become servant of all. So if God has gifted us, graced us, he wants us to use that, pick up a towel, and start serving the body. Just as Jesus washed the disciples' feet, John chapter 13, and just as disciples, listen, we learn this is what we're supposed to do. We serve. That Spirit is going to lead us to do precisely what Jesus said we should be doing, and that is serving one another. Now, notice there's diversity of gifts. There's differences of ministries, but there's also diversities of activities. And the word there for activity is energetmo, which is what we get, you can just hear it, energy. It's what we use, the power to do what activity you're going to do. You've got to be empowered to do it and see that power at work. And that's what happens when you serve. It's not your ability. God wants to work in me, in you, through us to minister and do amazing things, frankly, sometimes that you don't even think you could do. Too many people have come to me and said, well, I just can't do that. I don't have the power. I don't have the ability. That's the amazing thing. I say, you're perfect. You're just the one God's looking for. Because it's not you. It's not me. It's him in us. It's God at work in us. And our willingness to just be used by him. Mark this in the Bible, in your Bible, 1 Peter 4:11. 1 Peter 4:11. Don't turn there. I'm just going to tell you what it says. Peter, he classifies the spiritual gifts into two broader categories. And generally, all 20-plus spiritual gifts can be put in these two categories. And one category is the speaking gifts, those of preaching and teaching, counseling, those types of things. They're speaking gifts. Then there's the other gifts that he calls serving gifts. And what that is gifts of mercy. And what it essentially is all the other gifts that facilitate the speaking gifts that send the word out and get the word out. And Peter says this over in 1 Peter 4. Listen, if you have a speaking gift, I'm preaching today, or you're teaching Sunday school, you're leading a Bible study. When you speak the Word of God, you and I should speak as though we're holding the oracles of God in our hands. Just imagine, you know, when Moses came down off the mountain, and he came down, he had them two stone tablets, the oracles of God. And you know what? When he spoke, he looked at me and said, God spoke, read this, read this. When we speak, beloved, when we come and we open the Word, and of course you heard Winston, he has to say this every time. When we open the Word, what happens? God speaks. That's what you and I should realize. God has spoken to us. We're not coming going, well, I guess I wonder what the text says today. I just don't kind of know. No, we speak with authority. God has spoken to us. This is the words of life. I need to hear what the living God has spoken. And we should speak with that same passion and energy that I'm sure Moses had when he came down off that mountain and said, y'all ain't gonna believe what I saw. God spoke, do this. Don't do this. It's that same authority. Now, and you know what then he says? He says, if you serve, then you should serve as though you have the strength of God within you to do that work. And you know what the reality is? We do have the strength of God within us. We have a power that dwells within us, the power of the Almighty God, the Spirit of God, who is able to do exceedingly above all we ask or think. As Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, that Spirit dwells within us. Think about the energy, the power we should be serving our King and what we should be doing with Him, because He is the one who enables us to do it. And there's a variety of things. Listen, there's a diversity of gifts. There's differences of ministries. You know, in other words, you can have a teaching gift. Listen, but there's a lot of different ministries or areas where you could use that. You could use it in children's church. You could use it in our grow classes. You could use it in Sunday school. You could use it preaching. There's different areas, ministries, where you take that gift and you use it in a variety of ways. And then there should be energy, passion behind all of those activities, where you see the power of God at work in people as they teach and use that gift. Now, here's the amazing thing. Notice the Trinity who is at work in the use of these gifts. Do you see this? Do you notice I highlighted same, same, same? Notice what it says. There's the same Spirit who gives the gift. There's the same Lord who's over the ministry. And there's the same God who works all in all. You see, the Spirit, praise God, when we're saved, like Pastor Scott didn't get, you know, 90% of the Spirit and left 10% for the rest of us. Amen? No, 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 no. We all get 100% of the Spirit of God. He dwells within all of us. Praise the Lord. And that Spirit that gifted us, that same Spirit dwells in me, dwells in you. That's why there's a commonality, a unity among us when we say, praise God, I see God at work in your life. I see God doing something in your life and through you. I see how you're gifted with what God has done. Now, here's the amazing thing. As we leverage that gift, as we work that gift, use it, we have different ministries where we use those gifts. Now, here's what's important. Listen, this is what causes trouble in the church. When we forget that we're in those ministries, but there's one same Lord over those ministries. What do I mean by that? Well, you see, I have this teaching ministry. It's called pastoring. It's preaching. And it's my responsibility. In fact, down in verse 27, I believe you can see all the different, or verse 28, all the different offices where God gifted individuals, appointed them to be. I have this one right here I'm responsible for. This is not my pulpit. This is the Lord's pulpit. And I'm only here for a season. And then God will move me to the next place or to his throne. And someone else will take, this is there, will be the Lord's ministry that they have to steward. Jesus is over those ministries. The moment you and I lose focus and think, well, this is my class. And this is my ministry. And this is where I serve. This is where I greet. That means you're lording over that ministry, not Jesus. And that's not going to do the church well. But when we surrender and yield, it's amazing because then, you know what? Sometimes, you know what? I can serve somewhere in some capacity and realize this is Jesus' ministry. He's placed me here. And maybe I can begin to teach someone and walk alongside them because there's so many areas where we need to be serving, taking up the towel and serving that's not happening. And I might realize, you know what? I can train someone right here and let God see, let's see them, God work in their lives. And then I'm going to go over here and at this empty spot that needs to be filled right now. And that's what we need to be willing to embrace, and opportunities. Let's see others serve as well. There's nothing more greater joy as a pastor than to see you, listen, who've been saved by Christ, using that grace that God has given you and using it for his glory in serving and ministering to the body. And you know the amazing thing? There's one God, one Father who's over all of it. Praise the Lord. He is the one who is working all these things, all in all. He's got a purpose and a plan. When you and I use the spiritual gift that we have been given and the power that God has given us to serve others, listen, it's amazing to see God work. And that's what I want to see. That's what you should want to see each and every day. This happening, this diversity, and then this unity, this oneness. Now, here's what happens. If you and I try to do it in our own strength, then something's wrong. Now, I don't want it. It's not me. I want it to be the Spirit of God in me. I want to see Jesus working in my life. I want to see Jesus glorified. It's his ministry, not mine. And this is what God loves. And this is what God saved us for. The grace that has saved us and sustained us is now the grace that also serves, we serve with. And why? For the common good. What is his purposed distribution? Why has God given us the Spirit of God? Why has God gifted us in this way? Notice what it says in verse 7. This, the manifestation of the Spirit, is given to each one, I circled that, for the profit of all, I circled that. No one gets all the Spirit. Everyone gets some of the Spirit, gets all of the Spirit and some of the gifts. And here's the amazing thing. Why does he do that? What is his purpose? So that I can be a blessing to others. Now look around you. All are in this room. Well, they're in the first service too, okay? And some are on vacation, so they're not here. God gifts us, graces us for the common good, for the benefit of all. Hear this. Our God's a good God. Amen? All the time. I mean, he created this good creation that's infected by sin and the fall. But I believe he put goodness, and he gave man the responsibility to work the garden and bring the good from the earth, to subdue the earth for the blessing of all that he would procreate and all that would come forth. And that's why we want to pursue truth, goodness, and beauty in life, and bring forth that good for the benefit as a good citizen, especially a citizen of heaven who's here on earth and knows who the giver of all the good is. But God has graced us in order that we might grace other people. This is the economy of God. He graces us, and then he wants that grace to flow, not for us just to keep it all to ourselves, or just give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. No, no, no. For the common good, that it comes into me and out of me. That's his purpose. And so I should be thinking, if I'm practicing this truth, this theological essential, if I'm putting it into practice, God, how have you, let me see these ways that your Spirit has gifted me, enabled me, the ministry opportunities that are before me, where you've opened a door where I can step in. You've gifted me in this way. And now, Lord, by your power at work, for your glory, I can be a blessing to someone else. So many people looking for a church and what it's got for me. The question isn't what it have for me. What is that? What do I have that might bless this community of faith? How can God work in me? And so everyone should be thinking about the common good. That would help with the division that was in the church at Corinth. It helps with us so that we don't get so full of ourselves and focus on ourselves, but we begin to think of others and how the Holy Spirit now can be seen, manifested, working in the body of believers. And when you see God's love in action, God's grace being shared and shown to all, man, it's a beautiful picture. It's a wonderful testimony of our Creator, our Redeemer, and the Sustainer of our soul, Jesus, and everything that he's done for us. And God's purpose is that you and I think less of ourselves and more of others, and how I can give for the benefit of someone else. And all of us are gifted in this way. In fact, God has selectively distributed these gifts. Notice how he does this in verses 8 through 11. He distributes, notice this. Well, to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another, faith by the same Spirit, to another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spiritual spirits, to another, that's different kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of the tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Now, what he's saying is here, there's this list of all these gifts, all knowledge and wisdom and teaching and faith and healing and miracles and all this. Why does he do this? How does he selectively, he decides where who gets what. He decides who is gifted in what way. But the core truth is in verse 11. One and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. In other words, listen, you and I can't say, well, looky at me. Look at my gift. No, no, no. There's no room for any spiritual pride because you know what? We didn't choose it. He gave it. And I don't have to be jealous because you have that gift and I don't have that. And look what you get to do in the kingdom of God. And look at how God is blessing the area of ministry that you're in. I don't have to get upset when no one sees me because you know what? I don't have to be envious or jealous because you know what? It's the same Spirit at work in you and at work in me. At work in all of us is what we want to see. In fact, what's fascinating, sometimes God gifts individuals and they serve quietly behind the scenes. Nobody sees and nobody knows. But they're enabling other ministries to take place. They're enabling us to do, beloved. We have so many ministry opportunities. I mean, dear good. But look at this. Look at all those modulars out there. We have so many. Throughout the week, over 200 kids, we get to pour the Word of God into their hearts. Tell me where you get that opportunity, huh? Every day. And in that warehouse back in the back, and how much is flowing. Listen, as I say, there's a road to that warehouse, but there's roads that go all throughout this county, all throughout this community, all throughout this region of the South. Beloved, and we just get to be channels of goodness and grace. And as we do that, we get to invite others to taste and see for themselves if God isn't good, because he is. But there's a lot of people behind the scenes that you don't even see that facilitate that, to make that possible. And you know what? That's okay, because I know the one that does see. And I one day, the promise of Scripture is that as we faithfully do the ministry God has gifted us to do in the area where he's opened the door for us to do it, in the power that he has given us, the truth of the Word of God is this: he will reward that faithful stewardship as we faithfully take however many minas, whatever he's entrusted to us, and leverage it for the kingdom of God. And one day to hear him say, well done, good and faithful. You see, this works in this way. He's going to walk down through verses 12 through verse 27, and he gives us this illustration of the body. And he basically says, stop and think. Here's a metaphor. Here's a picture. Imagine that you are a body, a part of the body. And he walks through different parts of the body. You know, there's someone's the eyes, someone's the ears, someone's the the hands, someone is the feet, someone's the big toe, okay? We're all a part of the body. And the body is supposed to work in such a way that, you know what, if one part of the body gets hurt, the whole body hurts. Kind of like when you stub your toe, the whole body feels it, amen? All right, you do that late at night. You know what I'm talking about, all right? But if one part of the body rejoices, then the whole part of the body rejoices. We all rejoice because, you know what, we're tied together. We're all one. Though we're many members, we're all one. There are many parts of my body, but it's one. Let me illustrate how this works, okay? I love banana pudding. Make sure you bring that next week if you want to for the lunch we'll have after the morning service there in the second service for our patriotic day. But I also love chocolate cake. Chocolate cake's good too. And do you realize to make a good chocolate cake, my whole body has to work together. My eyes have to see where the ingredients are. My feet have to get us over there to the pantry, to the fridge. And my hands have to open that fridge to get out and reach and grab the eggs and grab the milk and grab the other elements that we need to make the cake. And then, you know, you have to get it back and we have to begin to put it, process it, put it all together and all the bodies working together. Trust me, for the better of the body, okay? And as you make that cake and then you put it in the oven and everybody's working together and then the ear is listening for the ding, you know, or the, you know, it's time, it's cooked. And you bring that out and then you put the icing on it, like three layers chocolate cake, like lots of icing, right? All right, then what happens? The body works together. The eye says, ooh, I see it. And the mouth is saving, ooh, I'm ready to savor it. And the fork and the hand grabs the fork and says, let me help. And so we get that bite. and the whole body goes sugar overload. Amen? We all feel it for the good of all. When you and I do ministry, it's not just for me. It's for all of us. Every single one of us are gifted. Listen, you are gifted by the Spirit of God for the benefit of all. And God wants us to cooperate and coordinate this work in such a way that we all benefit from it. Hold your place here. Flip over me just a second to another book that Paul wrote, Romans chapter 12. Let me show you something. Let me show you how this works. Romans chapter 12, it's one of the other passages where he talks about spiritual gifting. Paul has this practical application right here in Romans chapter 12 about surrendering our lives to Christ. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves as what? Living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable, just makes sense, it's our reasonable service, that this is what we should be doing. If Jesus truly is the Lord of my life, I present myself for service. Here I am. Here I am. No one's got to come looking for me. God, here I am. I don't need a nominating committee to come looking for me. No, no, no. All those tables out there where there's opportunities to serve in a variety of ministries at our church, all right there. And if there's a sheet out there that you say, I wish we had this ministry, well, then come talk to us because maybe God brought you here with the gifts and abilities to do that ministry, which we really previously didn't have. And he's put that burden, that passion with you and to do that. Well, let's do it. Here I am. It's just reasonable. Jesus, here I am. I'm surrendered. I mean, we just sang that. Take my heart. Take my mind. They're yours. My heart is your throne. I mean, if we really are following Christ, my life is not my own. I belong to him. He's my Lord. Here I am, Lord. Use me. Use me. Gift me. Use me however you desire. And then he says this, notice the stewardship of it. And I say, brethren, verse 3, through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt, listen, to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Listen, not only is Jesus the Lord of us, beloved, we're in something bigger than ourselves. We belong to one body. And we are tied together. And we need to think soberly about this, that God has gifted us with grace, not just for ourselves, but for everyone who's seated around us today. Everyone who is seated in this sanctuary, listen, God has graced us so that we can be that channel of grace to others. Now, listen, if we are only receiving and never giving grace, then something is wrong. We do not understand. We are not practicing good theology. We're not thinking right. And God says, listen, Paul says, you know what? You're supposed to be renewing your mind, transferring. If my mind is renewed, then I've really got my mind off of myself and onto Jesus and onto what his plans and purposes are. And I just say, here I am, Lord, use me. Now, you don't have to do everything. Please don't. We don't want you burned out. We don't want you. No, no, no one is gifted in that way. But all of us should be doing something. And the amazing thing, there's a principle here, not only of stewardship of what God has given to me and of lordship that Jesus now is my Lord. Here I am, Lord, use me. But there's a principle of fellowship that you know what? I want to be a part of that. I want to come and I want to grow in the Word of God and grow in my faith. And then I want to find some area where, you know what? I just love serving. Yeah, we have plenty of ministry opportunities, plenty of ministries that reach throughout minister, inside the walls and outside the walls. There's no excuse to say, well, there's really nothing I can do here. Beloved, there's too much for all of us to do here sometimes. Right. And we need the Spirit of God to work in us and through us. And as you and I use the gift that God has given us, people get to say, man, look at God working in your life. That's amazing. That's encouraging to me. It inspires someone else. Maybe you come along and say, hey, man, why don't you come join me in this? This is an amazing thing we get to do. Serving the Lord, growing in that. And see, this is why, listen, you're gifted to sing. Get up here and sing. We'll put more chairs up here. Amen, Winston? Yeah, amen. We will fill it up. We should. There's no excuse for that. Some people, here's what happened. They're gifted, and you know what they've done? Well, I've done my time. I'm good. I'm done. It's someone else's turn now. I'm done. I'm not going to do it. No. And you're squandering the gift that God has given you. Sitting there, I guess you just put it in a napkin and put it in the ground. There's a parable about that. That's not a good thing to do. Use that gift, leverage it for the glory of God. And man, there's just joy when you do what God has gifted you to do. And you see that at work in your life. And you're saying, man, look at the Spirit of God. Look at God working in my life and through my life. Look at how I'm blessing someone else just by being faithful. Doing what God has gifted me to do with great joy. Taking up the towel like my Savior and proving the power of cotton fiber, frankly. How powerful it is. Some people are bored in church. I mean, just bored, man. Bored. And you know what? Oftentimes they're just sitting there doing nothing. And they need to say, God, forgive me this morning. I need to embrace the opportunity to serve. I want to see your grace not only work to save me. I want to see that grace work in me, changing me, and demonstrating so others can come and experience that same grace and it can change their lives. And when that happens, then that's practicing good theology. Listen, for so often, listen, many people think about the gifts of the Spirit and the power of the Spirit. It's just more like a theater, a performance, and they want to see, show us the manifestation of the Spirit, you know, with tongues and all those other crazy things. You know what's amazing? One of the greatest gifts and manifestations of the Spirit is when we frankly just simply serve. When we just do what God has gifted us to do, not for my own benefit, but for the benefit of everyone else. And when I get my eyes on the Lord and on the Spirit, then I start looking at others and I stop looking at myself. Radically, radically changes things. And so I just ask you this morning, be honest with yourself. Are you looking for a place to serve or just a place to sit? That's what we have to be honest with. Are we looking for a place to serve or a place to sit? Are you relying on the Spirit's power or your own? See, this is a radical when you see, God, I can't do this in my own strength. But do it in me. Here I am. I'm a vessel. Pour into me and pour out of me your grace. God, I want to honor you as I do that. What a joy to see others experiencing God's grace. Man, it was a joy when I experienced it. Amen. Amazing grace. Saved a wretch like me. All that God would enable us to help build his kingdom and build his church and share the gospel and just flood this region with grace because God has been so gracious to us.